from the front line, from the tailgates, representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Steve and Chris. Sports recap. NBA, yeah. NHL, boxing, the whole nine. We might even talk about roosters fighting, man. BleedBlueShow.com, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, at the Bleed Blue Show. All the audio archives on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Tuning in, Stitcher apps. Chris, we have so much to discuss, and we have so little time. This is a great time of the year to watch sports, man.
Hey, if you're gonna have roosters fighting, then you have to talk about my Uncle Barney knocking out the guy over the bottle of whiskey back in 1985. So you gotta do one or the other, man.
Dude, it is really. Man. Let me. I gotta say this real quick. I know we have the NBA playoffs, we have the NHL playoffs, and baseball regular season going on. Dude, let me tell you something. Let's talk about the playoffs between NHL and NBA. The NHL playoffs. Mm-hmm. Is destroying mm-hmm. the NBA playoffs as far as quality of games, tightness of the games as far as the way things are developed. But I'll give the NBA this. There's some crew, and especially in the West, there are some huge, huge games, like the game four, Portland and Golden State. Sometimes these are classics, man. Classics.
That's a bona fide classic. We gotta have to get to that. We have to save that one because that one.
we sure will.
That's another historic plane right there. Even with NBA history, that's added to the folklore right there with what we witnessed last night. But we'll talk about that. Hey,
let me get the NHL out the way real quick because that is right now is compelling. Thus far, if you check out the Rink podcast on the Bleed Blue Show, we discussed how pivotal we said Tampa Bay will get past the Islanders, and they made quick work out of the Islanders. The Islanders are out of the playoffs right now. The Lightning moving into the Eastern Conference Finals. No surprise there for the Bleed Blue Show. I already told you guys that Tyler Johnson, Alex Killorn, Nikita Kucherov, mm-hmm. the whole Lightning, Victor Hedov, these guys came to play. They took over the Barclays Center and ran through the Islanders.
Wow.
That's number one. Let me get to the game on Saturday, last Saturday, the Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Capitals showing resiliency. Game six on Tuesday night. That's going to be fun. And we're going to see how that goes because the Capitals are trying to climb out of a 3-1 hole. And that's it's another classic series with legendary goal scorers in that. I mean, Sidney Crosby. Ovechkin. Alex Ovechkin. I'm sorry. I had a brain freeze.
But the West is crazy, though.
The Western Conference is crazy. Now, you kind of alluded to it a little bit just before. We were talking Predators and Sharks. I try to tell these hockey people, you better watch out for the – and I said this way before the playoffs. The Predators are giving the Sharks fits right now. The Predators are giving the Sharks fits. Game seven in San Jose. And here's the thing. I was kind of apprehensive. I said San Jose has looked good. They've had proved me wrong because they're one of those teams that kind of like the NBA's equivalent to, let's say, I don't know, give me a team that always makes the playoffs and always fizzles out, like a Toronto-type team. A team that does very well. They kind of had an off year last year. And then they fizzle. They always fizzle up. But the Sharks have actually played very well. They destroyed the Kings in the first round. I discussed that already. Their game seven is going to be coming up. And then, of course, another good series, the St. Louis Blues and the Stars. I thought the Blues would have finished them off in six, and the Dallas, they find a way to get in this, man. Jamie Benn's team, man, they're killing it right now. And that game seven is going to be in Dallas. The NHL playoffs, hands down, as a whole, better than the NBA. Hands down.
The Predators. Now, let me ask you something. If you're a Shark, if you're a San Jose Shark, right now, what do you feel like? Because that just did you just see the air go out of the balloon last night with that one?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about body language. At 18, when that goal went in, Well, that went in overtime. It seemed like.
Yep.
I mean, look, the game is over. We understand that. We understand that we have to do our handshake and whatever we do. But it just looked like they were already defeated. Come what? Tomorrow? Is that tomorrow's game seven?
I think it is tomorrow. Correct. Yeah.
Yes, they looked already.
Oh no, actually Thursday. Make it Thursday. They got to go back to the West Coast.
Okay. It just didn't. They just looked like they were demoralized, that they didn't want to go anymore. When Arvidsson put that goal in, it was like we quit. I noticed it, and you know, I try to watch. I don't watch hockey as much as I used to. I love hockey though. I love the sport. Of course, I'm a Ranger fan. But God, dog, when you just let the team, when you see a team as a unit just deflate in front of you that way. If you're a Predator, you know you got them. You know you got them. It goes back to boxing.
They got to get them.
Right in his eyes. You got them, huh?
They got to finish the job, though.
And you got to finish the job, true. But oh my God, I hope that one day in practice, which I guess might be tonight. I hope that does them some good, because Lord have mercy, the air just went out of the balloon over there in San Jose. So I can't wait to see that game.
They don't have too much to worry about. I mean, it's not like the respective basketball team in that region is doing too shabby either. You know, getting the guy who runs the point guard play out there in the NBA, he's 2-time NBA MVP. So it's not all too all too bad if the Sharks bow out. But I mean, this is a series where the home team has won every game. Nashville handled their business at home. San Jose handled their business at home. But we'll discuss that when we get to that. We got to bring on the infamous Knickerbocker Avery. Going to get through all these sports.
Oh,
the
that's
NHL,
man right there.
NBA, the boxing that has developed. Knickerbocker Avery, what's going on? How you doing?
Gentlemen, good evening. Godfather.
The infamous one. Sir.
Man, what a week. Doing very well, I'm glad to say. It's a beautiful evening. It's not raining as much as it has been like it was last week. But hey, let's get into this, man. I mean, this week in sports, man. What are we starting with? Are we still talking about hockey? Or are we going to
We're
boxing?
Still talking about hockey, but hey, everything
under the sun.
All right.
I know to that. The horse that won the Kentucky Derby was named.
Are you still winning? See, that guy's still winning.
Wow.
They got it.
Wow. Is he named after a New York Islander? Isn't he named after a New York Islander?
He might be.
Bob Nyquist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Now,
he,
but here's
I
the thing, though.
Is.
What about that horse racing thing? What is this? Is 78? What year are we in? 16?
Yeah.
I mean, to get that triple count, you come back and you start off. That's four. That's four in a row, right? For that horse.
No. What are you talking about as far as the Triple Crown itself, or what do you mean?
The legs of the Triple Crown.
Oh, the legs.
So that'd be four.
Three. Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and then, of course, my favorite Belmont right down from where I grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
Belmont 6. Yeah. And nobody does that. 78, 79, no, 77, 78 was back-to-back. And no one did it again until last year. And now it might be back-to-back again. So I think that's pretty interesting, too, from a sports perspective, even though I'm not exactly a horse racing specialist, but I am, I consider myself somewhat unique in terms of attaching that to this and, you know, seeing history repeat itself again, which is also another topic we'll get to later on, Steve. Continue.
Before we even continue on, let's bring on our guy, our dude, Dom, and I want to get his perspective on everything, whatever he's thinking on sports. Don, what's going on? We have a sports recap here on the Bleed Blue Show. Anything on your mind, sir? How's everything?
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up,
dude?
I don't know. Busy week, back and forth to the East Coast, funeral, all this other stuff. But you know what, Steve? You brought up a good point. Thank you, guys. You brought up a good point. I'm like Godfather. I'm not a big hockey fan. I catch the highlights. But how many years has it been now that the hockey playoffs seem more intriguing than the NBA playoffs?
At least six in a row.
Yeah.
At least five or six years now.
Yeah, I just caught on to maybe the last three where these games go down to the wire, not many blowouts, overtime, game seven.
Yep.
I mean, you look at the Eastern Conference guys in the NBA. We may not like the Cavs. We may not like LeBron. But we knew that the Cavs were going to win the East back in September. So there was no intrigue there. It's just like, let's play out these 82 boring games, get to the playoffs, and now we're going to put them on a pedestal because they've beaten the Pistons and the Hawks. I mean, it sort of makes it more embarrassing for the team we really don't want to bring up the Knicks. Though the East got better, it really ain't that hard. You know,
I have a question for you, Dom, and then I want to throw that same question to Av, and we'll go to Chris. Let me ask you about you're right about Cleveland, the Cavaliers, as far as making quick work. They're on the full path right now, not having losing the game in the playoffs. But let me ask you this. We know Cleveland was going to get past the first two rounds. That was the easy part. But did you think the Cleveland shooting was going to be like this? I mean, to this degree? I mean, they made, I think, 20-something one night. I think me and I were doing the a recap last week as it happened, as this was going on. Like, I think they had almost like 80 points at half. That was the game in Cleveland. But did you see this coming? I didn't see this coming.
See this coming? And you know what? Here's the scary thing, though. Just like I was looking at Miami when they played Charlotte and Charlotte took them to 7 games, blew a great opportunity in game 6, you knew the wheels were going to come off the Heat's outside shooting. Are the wheels going to come off Cleveland's outside shooting? When you haven't done nothing that consistently, now, can you catch lightning in a bottle for a month and a half? Maybe. I'm just saying the odds are, and the numbers say no. You know, it's just that simple, guys. I mean, numbers don't lie. People lie with numbers. When are the wheels going to come off this? They're shooting the lightning out, guys. Come on. If anybody expected this, I'm going to hang up, take a nap. You know, that drive back and forth to Jersey and PA killed me. But let's be honest, guys. And I'm not saying the wheels are going to come off. I'm just saying you look at numbers, and they're not that good of a shooting team. Now all of a sudden they turned into the, you know, the Boston Celtics, the Golden State Warriors. Come on. I don't think. It'll carry them through the East. We know that. But whoever they meet in the West, here's the funny thing, guys. To go to Cavaliers are brainstorming, barnstorming through the East. We still got 3 teams left in the West that got 50-plus wins.
That's right.
That's incredible, guys. Serious. When you think about that, any one of those 3 teams with 50-something wins can beat the Cavs. I'm just saying. I'm not rooting against the Cavs. I have no horse in the race, guys. I'm just saying. I think either one of those 3 teams – well, OKC's a little shaky because they play that – you shoot, I shoot, you shoot, I shoot type basketball. But if they get hot, hey, anything could happen. But just think, guys, we got 3 teams left in the West with 50-plus wins. And it's showing because the games are a little more fun to watch if you could stay up that late. And it's more intriguing than the Eastern Conference Finals. And we could go, you know what, maybe 5-6 years. This has been the norm, but – I don't know, guys. I want to hear somebody else's take on the Cavs like this for the rest of the
season. What's your thoughts about going off of that? And we'll go to Chris on the Eastern Conference real quick. Av, your thoughts on as far as Cleveland moving on? Did you expect this level of shooting? Is it more so Atlanta's lack of defense, or were you giving more credit to Cleveland?
I think it was – I mean, I knew Cleveland was going to be running roughshod through the Eastern Conference. I don't think me or anyone walking this earth expected them to be shooting what, almost 60% from the field and like 90% from 3-point land. And I mean, it's something that no one could have foreseen happening. But I think what Don said is absolutely true. I think that, you know, it's going to have to run out, and it's a matter of when. Do I think that should Miami move on to the Eastern Conference Finals and face Cleveland? They're a pretty decent defensive team. They're not the greatest perimeter defensive team, but they could probably put a lockdown on that. And if not, if it happens to be that that they don't and they end up playing Toronto, I mean, you pretty much know that whoever they play, whether it's San Antonio or Golden State, they're not going to be able to shoot the lights out of them again either. So, I mean, if you're Cleveland, you're happy, yeah, because you know you got a you're pretty much waltzing into the NBA Finals at this point. But I mean, come on, there has to be another. You have to figure out another way to do this, because if you're thinking you're going to be shooting the lights out of the building, OKC in San Antonio or in Golden State, you're freaking dreaming.
Thank you.
Plain and simple.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Nickelback.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm good.
I totally concur with that. Listen, this is some unprecedented shit, because let me tell you, in the first round, Detroit played them tight. Those games were tight. But yet, the threes kept going in for the Cavaliers, man. In fact, I think the biggest win they had was probably game two. That was by 17 points or whatever. But Detroit was able to hang in there because they were able to shadow the three as best they could for what they were, an eighth seed team. You know, they were able to shadow the JRs and Deladovas of the world on that team, and it kind of worked effectively, considering they didn't have a lot of depth, and they're young, like we spoke about. The next series, Atlanta didn't play defense, dude. I'm sorry. They didn't play it. They allowed the Cavs to do what they did. Now, here's the problem with this. Nonetheless, you have to give credit to the Cavs for performing at that level, hitting that three the way they've done. They went from the last eight games or so, from a kind of a power/finesse team to straight a three-point drilling squad. They changed as soon as the playoffs showed up. Okay, there hasn't been any kind of real action down low against the two teams they faced so far. I imagine they'll get it the next round because Toronto, depending if Jonas plays, or Miami, depending on what Whiteside's condition is. You know, if they play, if they don't play, it's going to be a continuation of what they've been doing thus far, hitting the three-pointer, better three-pointers than they do from the friggin' twos. You know, I think they're 51% right now in this playoff against the Atlanta. They just finished off. They shot 51%. From the field. Love, Fry, and J.R. Smith all had 6 three-point games. That's crazy shit. But if they believe that this is the team that they are, this kind of team, and it works, it might work against Miami or Toronto, but if they think they're going to put that shit up against the Spurs, Thunder, and especially the Warriors of the world, they're in for a rude awakening, dude, because they have just went through a transition where those teams are already accustomed to that style of play. And I think it might be rough for these guys. They might have to revert to what they were. Can Lou do that? Can LeBron adjust his thinking? I'm not sure. Because I know from being a New York Knicks fan for a long time, that J.R. Smith is – the wheels are going to – as I'm going to steal your line, Tom, Dom. J.R. Smith's wheels are going to come off sometime. They will. He is street shooter personified, but he's also the leading three-point shooter in this goddamn onslaught that they've had in the playoffs thus far. So they need to – they got a lot of time right now to think about what kind of team they want to – what kind of championship team they want to be coming out of the East. And are they going to be the Warriors or are they going to be themselves? I'll see.
Let me say this about that series, or the Cleveland shooting. I agree with you guys. I think it's more Atlanta's lack of defense than anything. But I'll be honest. I think the head coach, Tyronn Lue, you could tell that they've kind of forced the action a little bit more. They were more – they try to run the ball more, and it worked to their benefit. And I think this is a little different than last year, and I'm going to tell you guys why. Now, I'm not saying the shooting's going to continue, but I think this is a formula they're probably going to go with more than we think. Because last year when Cleveland lost to Boston, or Cleveland beat Boston, but they lost Kevin Love in that Boston series when he got, I think it was shoulder versus Kelly Olynyk, and they lost that threat. Chris, you kind of stole a little bit of my thunder because you mentioned Shannon Frye, a guy who wasn't there last year, a guy they got in during the season, and that's all he does is shoot threes. And you're going to have to adjust to Cleveland. I don't care who you are in the West. If you're the Warriors and you're throwing Andrew Bogut, let's say Cleveland gets to the finals, we all forecast that they get to the finals. You have to. Right. He's got to come out the game because he's going to have to play the perimeter on Shannon Frye. Shannon Frye is capable as you can see. They hit Atlanta with a haymaker last Wednesday. They hit him with a haymaker because they did not see Shannon Frye. They thought Shannon Frye was going to be warming the bench. He came in there banging threes, dude. Tyronn Lue showed their hand as far as what they were going to do as far as attacking other teams in this playoffs. The shooting may not continue to this level of degree because, like we already know, we as Knicks fans, we see JR do these all the time. Well, not all the time, every now and then. It's going to come down from him. But they still have enough snipers to get it done, though. They still have enough guns. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, you added in Shannon Frye. LeBron can hit an occasional three. He's not the greatest shooter, but he's capable of hitting it. I mean, they still have guys that can do that. And not only that, LeBron doesn't have to shoot. He's the playmaker. And Kyrie, he's been doing his thing in these playoffs. So I think, to a degree, I think they're going to roll with this little formula because I don't think, you know, let's say if it was Miami and Hassan Whiteside, he's not going to cover Shannon Frye out there in the five when they switch the lineups. Last year they went big with Timothy Mozgov in the middle. And they thought running – and the reason why Golden State took over the Cavs is they went small and ran the Cavs out the gym. Now they're going to play fight fire with fire. I'm not saying going to win or lose, but I think this is the approach. And I think this is going to be fun to watch. Chris, let me go back to it real quick. Then I want to go back to Dom on another question. I know I got to get this take. But about the NHL playoffs, the game six tonight is going to be hella classic with Pittsburgh and the Capitals. But also the game sevens. Exactly. And the two game sevens on Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, we got to get – the NBA has got to – and they're working towards it because we'll talk about San Antonio and OKC as well. Dom, I got to ask you this, man. Dom, I said to Chris, I'd never seen nothing like this in my life. Now, I watched some of this game, game four, Golden State-Portland, right? I saw maybe Curry scored 4 points. I mean, the points that I seen him score in the first half.
Right.
You know, I didn't see the whole game. I finished watching the whole game in the morning. Never what I thought in my wildest dreams where he would finish the game with 40 points, 17 in an overtime. I didn't even think you could score 17 in an overtime, let alone by one person, Dom. You watch a lot of basketball, Dom. Can I get your perspective? Where do you put this as far as the performance by the Warriors, the game itself? Because, I mean, we said the NHL has been better, but that game in particular – it's rank. It's a rank. You could put the rank up there between both leagues.
Yep. That's right.
You could take. First of all, we got to give a lot of credit to Portland. They played some good games. Here's a team we had this team 9-10 seed, lost half their roster, stuck to their system, stuck to their guns, and they've made this a good series. Though it's 3-1, but Steph Curry is just, I ain't going to say he's from another planet, but he's just playing the game below the rim. Where everybody used to play above the rim, he's playing below the rim. He's playing below the rim from the locker room. He's coming out gunning. He's shooting from the he's shaking hands with the scorer's table and shooting from there and giving him dap on his way back. This is something, guys, I don't know. I've been watching basketball a long time. I'm not going to get into who's the best backcourt and all that, but for this guy to play the position he does. Now, granted, he's not the greatest defensive player. You know, they'll put somebody else on the top point guard. But what he does offensively and the lift he gives that team, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this, guys. Siri, you've normally seen it with a Jordan or a dominant center. But I don't think we've seen this with a point guard. Nate Archibald, I don't know if you guys go back that far. Nate Archibald could dominate the game.
My favorite ball player.
You know, so he's still the only guy to ever lead the league in scoring and assists. But I've never seen nothing like this guy. Serious. He's not a power forward. He's not playing bully ball. Everybody from here to Afghanistan knows he's going to shoot. And he's still putting up 40 points on one foot.
Yes, sir.
I mean, come on. No. This is, if somebody has seen something similar to this, you might have seen a spurt. Isaiah coming out with the one leg in the championship game.
That was fantastic.
That was one.
That was
but that was one game. This guy's been doing this for two seasons, and nobody has got a grip on this. Oh, bang him, do this, push him, do. You know what? I don't know. There's been better plans that have failed, and this one happens to be one of them because he's just something different, guys. I don't know what it is, but man, I don't know. It's like you might as well foul him. You might as well just start playing Hack a Curry and give him two instead of three. Because that's how ridiculous it's getting. He comes down court, just grab him, give him 2 points. Hopefully after a while he'll miss one out of two occasionally, so you save 2 points. But there's really no stopping this guy. And Lillard's a hell of a ball player. Give him credit again. Give Portland credit. Their glass slipper's getting ready to come off. So, but no, I've never seen nothing like this, guys. No, sorry. I don't know. And I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm a Knicks fan. But I've never seen nothing like this, guys. No. Mm-mm.
All right, let's get Av's thought. Av, what's your thoughts as far as Game 4, Golden State versus Portland, and then just the overtime? Now, the whole game is in itself, and then the performance by not just Curry, Green, anything on your mind as far as what you saw?
I don't know if this – I mean, I like what I saw from Portland in terms of giving them a fight, giving them hell, but I don't know about you, but if you're Portland right now, you don't want to play game five right now. After that overtime performance, you don't want to play game five. I don't want to play game five if I was a trailblazer, knowing what Steph Curry just did. Everybody played their part. They played that game and frankly, I thought the series was actually possibly going to be tied. It was going to be 2-2 going to game five. But after that overtime performance by Steph Curry, Me personally, I don't even want to play no more. I'd be like, you know what? This isn't even formality. Just forfeit the game. Let them go on. Let them win for San Antonio and OKC at this point. Because really, what can you do if you're Portland to try to stop them going forward? I mean, they did everything they could to hold Barnes and Thompson and hold down Green and hold down Curry for four quarters. And then once that overtime period came up, they were out of gas and they were in just a complete shock and awe. But this one-wheeled little guy, freaking green-eyed little bastard, freaking took them for 17 points in overtime. That's something short of amazing. That's almost ungodly in basketball terms that in a five-minute overtime, somebody scored 17 points like that. So at this point, it was a great game, game four. It was an unbelievable five-minute overtime. So if you're one of those people that happened to stay up late and watch the entire game, more power to you. If you came in the middle of it, man, you didn't miss. It's like you came at just the right time because that overtime period was something short of special. But, I mean, if I was Portland, I wouldn't even want to play game five. Honestly, I don't know why we even having a game five tonight. Oh,
damn.
Tomorrow, I'm sorry.
Bam. You know, the sin was allowing him, if you're a trailblazer, the sin was allowing him to catch his rhythm. That's what the problem was, man. You know, when he did that, he had that one layup that made it 120 to 118. And then right after that, he followed with three-pointer. I don't know what you're thinking if you're on the Portland bench, man. I mean, and this is your court, okay? But from where I'm from, you don't hold your head down, and Portland knew it was over. I'm not sure if it was running out of gas at Knickerbocker Ave as much as it was feeling like they were demoralized because Daddy came into their place and took their ball away from them. You know, that's what it felt like. I mean, here's a guy that yesterday was announced as the MVP of the league, and he went out there and showed why in a dramatic fashion. And, Dominic, I got to put Isaiah's performance up there right along with this one, as well as the Reggie Miller performance in 94. when he scored the 25 in the third quarter, I mean the fourth quarter, and killed the Knicks, the famous choking game when he's yelling at Spike Lee. Those kind of moments are timeless, and this joins them right here. It's right alongside it, and you know this is phenomenal. This is incredible. And you know the other thing you got to remember, fellas, is that Curry is really surrounded by a team that allows him to perform in such dramatic fashion. Isaiah was that year with the beginning of the Bad Boy run, you know. And you know, I'm not really sure. Miller kind of carried them by himself. That wasn't, in some terms, that's just as dramatic since he didn't have that quote unquote great team, but he had a good team. When you're surrounded by cats that will let you go through run through picks, you know, and you you set picks for that allow you to, you know, hold 20, even 30-point leads all season long. You know, you got that kind of camaraderie working for you on a squad like that. The miracles can happen, man, and that's what happened yesterday. Portland played a hell of a goddamn game. They scored 125 points and lost in this day and age. This is in the 60s, you know. So, hey, man, I mean, the guy came out there. He looked fresh. He had his rhythm. He made tough shots. He made sweet passes. He fought through the screens. He had 17 fucking points in overtime. I didn't think it was possible for two teams to score 17 points in overtime, you know? And he's just on some other plane. And we have to give it to him, man. Right now, he's rolling as the best there is. Got to give it to him. All right, Steve.
And on top of that, Chris, I mean, he came off the bench and did this.
Came off the bench.
Ed almost dropped the triple-double off the bench on one leg. He had 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and I didn't even know you could score that many points in overtime. But even with that said, I agree. I mean, they're a complete team. I mean, they're good with him. They're over the top. This thing is over in 5. It's just a matter of if it's going to be San Antonio or Oklahoma City. We'll get to that right before we get off. But
to remember, man, is that Portland scored 41 points in the second quarter. They were on a crazy
They played real well.
Lose like this on their home court. Don't remember this.
It's the Warriors. That's the only way he's played it. I'll tell you this. The NBA games are funner when Golden State gets down in a deficit. This actually happened on Saturday before the fight, and I'll try to get to that too. This game is almost a carbon copy of what happened Saturday, except that Steph didn't play. Problem was, Golden State couldn't make a run, but they made a run almost in similar circumstances. I think Portland got off to a better lead in Game 4 than they did in Game 3. Mm-hmm. Portland played the complete game, but it's obviously, man, when all the parts are there for Golden State, they are a very tough out, man. A very tough out. Dom.
Let me just add one thing. Remember when everybody was saying the Warriors going for 72, 73 mm-hmm. was going to take something out of them? But if you watch mm-hmm. the bouncing ball, none of these guys played that many minutes. They played a good 40, 50 games that were blowouts. They had their starters resting in the third quarter. And now they're just, I ain't going to say they found the fountain of youth, but they didn't, even though this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, they won 73 games, but didn't expend a lot of energy. And now it looks like the season just started again.
Yeah,
it's crazy, guys.
I agree with that.
I don't think nobody's going to beat them.
Since I got you on there about the, I want to go back to the East real quick. I was pissed, man. I Adam and Chris, they'll tell you we discussed the Heat and the Raptors. They chose the Heat. I chose the Raptors. Never would I thought Dwayne Casey would blow this game, Game 4 versus Miami. Now I think this probably screws up the prediction that I had for the Raptors because they had Miami. Now. Lowry sucked. DeRozan sucked. And right now they're still in it, but this Game 5 in Toronto didn't go to Game 6 in Miami. Who do you have in this series? Who's going to lose to Cleveland in the next round?
Yeah, I have Toronto because, again, you look at this series. It's like watching paint dry. I mean, mm-hmm. you just finished
it's
saying
not that
DeRozan
bad.
Stuff.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, come on. They didn't score as many points combined as Steph Curry scored in the overtime himself. Okay. It's
good
hard
point.
To watch, guys. I won't say boring. It's hard to watch. But the thing about what you just said, Steve, DeRozan's been sucking. They're playing without their big man. Lowry's been sucking. And the series is tied 2-2.
Who needs their big man more? Who needs their big man more, though? Toronto, Jonas Valanciunas, or Hassan Whiteside from Miami? They both didn't play in game four. Who needs the big man
exactly.
more? It was a wash? What do you think?
I think it's a wash because one would think without Whiteside in the game, Toronto would go to the hoop. But they're still jacking jumpers. And they're not hitting jumpers. I can't understand Toronto. The only thing I give Toronto the edge for is because even though neither one of these teams can score, the Heat haven't scored all year. They was 20th out of 30 teams in scoring in the NBA this year. This isn't a fluke, guys. I always go back to numbers don't lie. They was 20th out of 30 teams in scoring. They barely snuck by the Hornets. The Hornets blew that game six at home after stealing a game in Miami. I'm not buying it. I know the NBA wants to see this, Wade and LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals. Toronto's the better team. They are simply the better team. And if DeRozan and Lowry get their heads out there, you know what, it's going to be tough for them because that's what the Heat have problems with the Hornets. When the Hornets had Kemba Walker and Jeremy Lin in the game at the same time, the Heat had no answer for that. They had absolutely no answer for that. Dragic couldn't check none of us three on the phone. We know that. So who the hell is he going to check, Walker or Lin? Whoever he was checking, they went right at him. And if Lowry and DeRozan just, you know, get a little spark, guys, we're not asking them to score 40. And at the end of the day, they still have home court advantage. They started with home court advantage, and they have home court advantage in these the best of three coming up. So I had Toronto too, Steve. So I'm not going to bail out now. I'm not going to become a victim of the Heat moment. Though Wade is playing, you know, phenomenal. When we thought this guy was on his last leg during the season, last season, you got to give him his props. I know everybody on this phone hates the Heat, but you got to give Wade his props. He's been carrying them. So when are the wheels going to come off him too? I mean, I just think Toronto's got they got the edge. If you're right, though. Whoever said the coach blew that game,
he blew that game.
And here's the funny thing, guys.
He could have blew the series.
Here's the funny thing, guys, and I want somebody else to chime in. I hate to go back to the Knicks, but I keep having this debate with one of my friends on Twitter. He believes a coach don't matter. You know, you just get the players. We could have any coach. I happen to think differently. Because we had this discussion during the season. A good coach is going to lure good players because they know they have a system. They know they have a confident coach. And guess what? We saw it last night. Casey just blew that game. It's no other way to go about it. It's like taking out your starting pitcher who's pitching a no-hitter and you're up 1-0 and you only had 88 pitches and you end up losing the game. That's what I equated that to last night. Toronto had them on the rope, going home, up 3-1, and he blew the game. I mean, they weren't scoring, but his moves blew the game. So my friend that believes that a coach don't matter, he might not be watching these playoff games because the coaches have had something to do with this. Teron Lue switched up Cleveland. They went from this ball to that ball on the drop of a hat. The players bought into it. The coach had an idea. Boom. For those that believe, you know, a good coach is just, hey, you know, we could have any coach. We'll just bring in any players. You got to get the players. And if you don't have a coach, that's just me, guys. I don't want to go on a rampage, but we're seeing it in the playoffs. We're seeing it. A good coach is making the difference.
All right. Mm-hmm. Ev, your thoughts on the Heat and Raptors?
The last game, because I was busy something, but hearing what you guys are saying, because I did see some of the highlights. I still feel in my heart. Even though I hate them with a passion, I still pick the Heat over the Toronto Raptors for the one reason and the one reason only. They have a closer on their team that Toronto does not have. And he's basically been carrying this whole team pretty much all season long. He's carrying this team throughout the entire playoffs. He's carrying this team right now. Dwayne Wade is doing his thing. And
if anything else,
there's one thing that he desperately wants to prove. He wants that showdown against LeBron in Cleveland. He desperately wants it, and he almost kind of needs it to kind of show you know, just to kind of rub it in LeBron's face that you should never have left. You know, he should have kept the team together. Should have stayed in Miami. Should have, you know, kept on going. Whatever the case, this is what Dwayne Wade has been itching for this opportunity for 2 whole years. He's going to get this opportunity. I still think the Miami pulls this off. How they do it, they probably go 7, but I think Game 5 is going to be the pivotal game to swing either way. But I'm fairly confident that it's going to be Miami. I'm pulling it out.
I agree. I totally agree with Av. Dragic can't catch a break, but that really hasn't stopped. Look, you know, Dwayne Wade is averaging 28 points a game in a series, man. Nobody's been able to stop him. You know, it looks like he's been doing it by himself. But the truth of the matter is they're more skilled when it comes to pressure situations like this. Okay, to that argument, it's like there was one point in the game where the Raptors were leading 62-60. And at that very same time, Lowry and DeRozan were 4-21. Okay? And that's because Terrence Ross, Damari Carroll, Bayombo, the center, the backup center.
Bayombo, yep.
And Corey Joseph rose to the occasion. They were the ones that responded to Dwayne Casey. If you watch the body language, and I always say that, I'll beat that as a horse, like a horse, watch their body language. They're the ones who kept them in the game. Their stars are not doing it. Why? I don't know whether they're starstruck. I don't know whether the spotlight's too big. I don't know what's going on. The talent is there. But I have to give the Heat this series, man, because not only just because of what Knickerbocker has said, but because the experience factor is there, man. Eric Spoelstra is going to end up out-coaching Casey here. Okay? And it's just a better – I'm not going to – right now they don't look the better team, but if the longer you allow them to hang out, because this fifth game is going to tell a story. You're Knickerbocker Adams right about that. The longer you allow the Heat to hang out and play in this fashion, the more you're setting yourself up for disappointment. So I'm going definitely with the Heat right now. I mean, I really, really respect the fact that the Raptors have made it this far, and they made great strides in improving this franchise, but they're not ready, man, even with what we've seen so far. When your stars haven't shown up to play, at this far into this playoff, I can't give you a lot of love unless you get your head out your ass, man. That's all I'm going to say about that, Steve.
I hear you, man. Here's my the other side of what you're saying. As far as the Raptors side with the stars not showing up and the coach just psyching himself out in that fourth quarter, it pissed me off watching that, knowing that they had the Heat, that sizable lead with 3 minutes to go, and they allowed – the Heat to do whatever they want. Here's the thing. You had DeRozan on the bench as long as you did, and I know you want to, you know, the violence, I understand that point, but, yo, you got to have him on the court. I don't care what sore thumb he had. You got to play him. But here's the thing that really pissed me off. The last shot, Corey Joseph, the last shot, he looked like he had, you know, the deer in the headlights look. He didn't want the ball for that last shot in regulation. I mean, you can't do that as a head coach. You can't let your roster, you can't even allow that to go into overtime the way they did. It's just, and I think if they were to lose the series, it's because of that game, that fourth quarter. I mean, sometimes it comes down to that. And we already seen in this playoffs that Heat are capable of going to the other opposing team's gym and handling their business, like in game 6. Versus Charlotte, like Dom's point. But, I mean, I don't think this series is as bad as Dom says it. I mean, I think it's okay. It ain't what we saw in game 4 in Portland. But it definitely ain't what we're seeing in San Antonio and OKC. Well, we'll discuss that right now. Dom, what's your thoughts as far as this game 5? San Antonio and OKC. Wow. Man, I had the Spurs winning this series, but they're really, I mean, this is a back and forth series, man. And the funny thing, you're talking about the coach. We're talking about a guy like Popovich, who's been there since, what, 96, versus Billy Donovan is kind of holding his own, man. Rookie head coach, already going into a game five versus the legendary Popovich. What you thinking, Spurs versus the Thunder, man?
Here's the funny thing, guys. Back in, I don't know how long ago when we started talking, I said, I wouldn't count OKC out. Now, don't take that as I think OKC is going to win. But there's just something sneaky, scary about OKC. You know, they seem, I mean, shit, they got blown out by 106 points in the first game. Came back, won the next game. In San Antonio. You know,
did you think that was
sneaky
a foul, though, on game two with the inbound pass?
Here's the thing. I don't, there was 101 effed up calls in that last 17 whatever seconds left. But here's the thing the NBA got to realize. If you're going to go back and review it, keep it amongst yourselves. You know, if you're going to say we blew this, we blew that, that's not changing the outcome of the game. It's actually making you look stupid. We appreciate your honesty, but it ain't changing the outcome of the game. You blew it, you blew it, let's move on. But OKC, guys, I don't like that kind of game they play. Like I said, you shoot, I shoot, you shoot, I shoot. And then every six, seven possessions down court, somebody else shoots. That, you would think the wheels would come off that. But when you have two guys like Durant and Westbrook, who if they catch fire, you know, Kawhi Leonard could only check one of them. And then when you get away from Kawhi Leonard on defense, I mean, the Spurs are much deeper. They're more fundamentally sound, if you want to use those words. But I wouldn't count OKC out, guys. I'm serious. For some stupid reason, and like you just said, Steve, here we go again, back to the coach. You're just aggravating me more when you say the word coach because of the position we're in today without Knicks. Here's a guy that came in, a lot of heat on him. Why did they get rid of this other coach? Blah, 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 blah. And he's two wins away from the conference finals. Whether he gets there or not, guys, where he got right now, he should be commended for that too. I mean, they're a sneaky team. And you get Waiters come up. Waiters is the Warriors version of J.R. Smith. If he gets hot, look out. If he don't, you know, he gives you a little something.
That's right.
When he's on. But I wouldn't count OKC out. I picked San Antonio. But even in the beginning of the year, guys, I was saying I wouldn't sleep on OKC because they have the firepower. And again, Kawhi Leonard could only check one guy. And Tim Duncan, God bless him, he's been a warrior. But he might have wanted to retire before this season because he's bringing absolutely nothing. I mean, he's bringing Tim Duncan. Don't get me wrong. He's Tim Duncan. But he's bringing absolutely nothing. And if OKC could take advantage of their rotation of their big men, which both of them could score, especially down low, this series might get a little more interesting, guys. Tonight will be the tell and tell. I mean, if OKC wins this game, wow. I don't know. I got San Antonio, but I'm not counting OKC out. Nope. They're a win away from making the whole NBA Western Conference go crazy.
Ad, what you think on Spurs and Thunder?
This series is far from over. It's 2-2, but it's pretty much a best of three. And just what happened in one game will not tell you anything about the series, in my personal opinion, because every game has been pretty much a different story, a different It takes a different animal, a different embodiment. So I know game five is usually the pivotal game, the deciding factor, the one that gives you that advantage. But to be honest with you, there really is no advantage when it comes to these two teams because these two teams have been battling. They've been exploiting each other's biggest weaknesses in San Antonio with the rotation of the big men while OKC's inefficiency and their high volume of turnovers. It's anybody's series at any given point. It comes down to basically this is going to game seven,
It's going to come down to the final 5 minutes of Game 7. So pretty much just enjoy the next two games, because Game 7 is where it's going to be decided, in my personal opinion. This is too close to call. I had San Antonio win this series in 7 games. I don't know if I can definitively say that still, because, again, each game has been very different. It's been hard to analyze. It's been hard to say, okay, that, you know, they have a distinct advantage here, that they seem to cancel each other out. What Kawhi Leonard's been able to do, what Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook have been able to do, but, you know, what both benches have been able to do and step up, it's hard to call. So I'm undecided on this one. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I like the analysis that Dominic and you gave. But I like to bring up something that I thought was just really spectacular. It doesn't sound as spectacular as what Curry did last night, but, you know, you got to give Kevin Durant some credit for that 17.4 quarter, man. He's 6-for-6. He didn't miss a shot. They had nothing. They, meaning the Spurs, had nothing to counter him with. Nothing. They actually stood – some of those shots, they sort of stood back and just watched him, as if he was on the court by himself. It was great. That's what great players do. They step to the plate. And this guy really, really did it. This kind of thing, I know they got chewed out. If I was a fly on the wall, man, I know Popovich got a hold of their ass after that game and told them that's what you don't do. It doesn't matter how spectacular the shot is or how spectacular he put it in the hoop. The shit is still the same 2 points as if you stood under the damn basket and put it up there. You can't allow these guys to take your heart, which is also what happened to Portland last night. But, look, this is anybody's series right now, man. And I like what Dom said. You know, Kawhi Leonard can't check every goddamn body. And you got two guys here that are on fire, and you got the X factor with Deion Waiters, even though he's, you know, he's come side sometimes, man. You know, Steven Adams has been playing well. Look, this is going to be a battle. On the San Antonio side, okay, well, Duncan, he didn't score. He was scoreless, and he had 4 fouls. But Duncan is 190 years old, and he's basically there to tutor LaMarcus Aldridge, okay? We know that. The problem was Danny Green went scoreless, and he had 5 fouls, okay? And he's looked upon every now and then to give you that boost. Guess what? They didn't get it from him, you know? Right now, this is a tied series. I expect this to go 7. In the end, whoever had the biggest heart is going to win it. I can't tell you who that's going to be, Steve. Can't tell you who's
going to
be.
Come on, give us something. Give us something. Come on, give us one.
You know what? I'd appreciate it. See, because I like both teams, but at the same time, I know this is a contract year for Durant, and I and he's one of my favorite players. He's my favorite player in the league is Kawhi Leonard, believe it or not, but he's one of my favorite players, and I just would appreciate it if they went and played the Warriors. I have a feeling that the Spurs are ready for the Warriors. They actually are. It's been said that they could be overlooking OKC. You know, the Spurs are ready for them. But I think if you put the Thunder in the position to play them for the conference finals, you're going to see a battle. You are going to see a battle, because I would counter with, even though Curry's incredible, Thompson can be very incredible, and Draymond is the stickler. Should have got some MVP votes, by the way. I didn't see the listing. But and that's a fantastic team, as we all know, in Golden State. I really, truly think that Durant, with this particular challenge laid right in front of them like this, they would not say no. They wouldn't give an inch. They would fight to the end of this shit. I think Billy Donovan would be happy to fucking coach against Steve Kerr in a position like this right now. I think this chest would be stuck out, and you would see a real, real, real great series if OKC went ahead and met the Warriors, who are destined to be there waiting for either Spurs or OKC right now.
I'm gonna stick with my Spurs pick, as I said in the beginning of the season, regular season, to win the NBA championship. Sticking with the Spurs. Hopefully they pull it out. I don't want to spend on it too long because we're running out of time. But let me say this real quick before I forget. Going back to the – I still have Pittsburgh over Washington, over the Washington Capitals. I still have the Sharks over the Predators, although I want the Predators to win. Hopefully I'm wrong about that. And then, of course, I want the Blues over the Stars. Let's get some final thoughts. Dom, if you could give us about a quick 45 seconds, your final thoughts on the playoffs and sports in general, real quick.
I could say this, guys. One, time is running out on the Knicks hiring a head coach. Two, we all can agree that I don't think San Antonio wants to get into a shootout with OKC. Though they're a fundamental team, a shootout is not in their best interest. Though they're from the state of Texas, they might not want to get in the shootout with OKC. Other than that, you know, the hockey thing, I'm really not that much up on it. I just want to see the two best teams playing. And then guess what, guys, not to drag this out, but the championship game is going to be decided from the two Western Conference teams. That's going to be the championship for me.
I agree.
That's going to be must-see TV, no matter what two teams it is. 250-win teams. No matter who these teams are, we're going to have 250-win teams playing in the championship. I mean, the conference championship.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Dom. And final thoughts.
I wish our Rangers were still in the NHL playoffs. Because of that, I stopped watching. In terms of the NBA, fire Phil. since we didn't really talk too much today, since it's the Blues day, but we didn't talk about the Yankees. I can't believe what's going on right now, but Steve, we'll talk about that later. Bleed blue all day, every day. You know where to find us. Sangre azul.
Sangre azul. And Chris, final thoughts.
I do wish one of the New York hockey teams was there at least. Just one of them. I have something to watch over there. I'm not going to talk about that fictitious franchise that's in Madison Square Garden right now because they are fictitious as long as a certain person is in charge there. And also, that was a great fight the other night. With the knockout.
Yes. Yes.
That was fantastic.
Wow.
We're going to have to talk about that next show. Yep. I really don't have much to say, Steve. Just,
you're talking about a patient fight. I know we didn't really cover that much, but you talk about a patient fight where he let Amir Khan do what he does. I mean, come here, Amir Khan's a decent fighter. He's not gonna watch. What Amir Khan does, he does make you turn on to watch boxing as dead as the sport has. He's gonna make you watch because he throws punches. He's gonna move. He's not gonna sit and run. But he was winning on the scorecard. Canelo fought the most patient fight, and he caught him like he never caught somebody in his life, man.
I know.
Lights out, dude. Now, everybody's talking about this Canelo versus Triple G. You know, man, you know, Triple G being in the ring and calling Canelo out, man. You know, they need this. This sport needs this, man. They need fight.
It does.
They need that fight
be a
bad,
super
man.
Fight. But let me see, that'll be a super fight.
If that happens, I'm sorry. If that happens, I'm calling it Triple G. I'm sorry. Triple G's
the machine. That'll be a super fight to end all super fights, but if it doesn't end in a knockout, then it's pretty much worthless, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You got two knockouts right there. If it doesn't end in a knockout.
But the fight itself, decent card, good fight. Got other things coming on this summer with the Ward fight as well, too, so we're going to keep tabs on that. But also, like I said, with the NHL playoffs, the NHL playoffs have been superior to the NBA, although the NBA has had flashes, like you guys have mentioned, with the series with the Thunder and the Spurs, and, of course, the overtime game four. With Curry, and I gotta give props to Cleveland making all these threes, but I don't think this is gonna last. But I think that's a formula they're gonna roll with. But we're out of time, though. Blee Blue Show. Shout out to Don, Knickerbocker Av, Chris, and myself. Episodes on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher app. This is your Blues Day Sports Recap. Talking sports in a matter of an hour, man. So much to cover. So get guys quick perspectives on how the series is going. And how, you know, real sports guys think, man. Other than that, bleed blue. Right. Gotta go.
Bleed blue!
Yeah.
Damn.
Can you dig it?
Smooth.
Can I can dig it? We can dig it.
Can you dig it?
bleep loop, bleep loop, bleep loop.